January 17th. So much to report, dear diary. It's been a busy week and mostly a good week. I'm not sure where to begin, so let's start with today and the first meeting of the Quilt History Museum Planning Committee. Diary, I was brilliant. I'm not usually a brilliant person around people I don't know well. I'm not all that brilliant around people I've known my entire life. I'm usually a very quiet person around people I don't know well, especially when those people include star quilter Haley Wilde. But you know what? Haley Wilde turns out to be down to earth and very easy to talk to. After the meeting was officially over and the socializing began, Haley and I had such an interesting conversation about all sorts of things, including our mutual love of antique traditional quilts. I never would have thought that an art quilter of Haley Wilde's caliber would be so interested in tradition, but she surprised me. For a long time, I collected late 19th century and early 20th century quilts, Haley told me, as she ate a piece of cranberry strudel. But then I turned 60 and got on the Swedish death cleaning bandwagon. I was getting rid of stuff and asking my kids what they wanted after I died. Not one of them, and I have four kids, was interested in my quilt collection. So, did you get rid of them? The kids or the quilts? Haley asked, and then gave me a quick wink in case I didn't know she was kidding. I knew she was kidding. Neither, as it turns out, and I'm glad I held on to the quilts. They're all in great condition, and most of them are local in origin, which means they might find a home in the quilt museum. I've got three Emmeline Grangerfields. I laughed. You make it sound like they're baseball cards. I've always wanted to do quilt trading cards, Haley admitted. You know, I'll give you one Emmeline Grangerfield for two Maisie Baker McGraths. I'm not familiar with Maisie Baker McGrath, I admitted. Is she related to the Grangerfields? No, she was the daughter or the niece of a woman named Eula Baker, who taught quilting for years at the Quilting Company. Baker published a book in the 40s, but I haven't been able to get my hands on a copy of it. Haley paused to take a sip of her tea. I really wish we could get space at building number 5 for the museum. Everyone's suggestions today were fine, I guess, but nothing really sang to me, you know? I just wish I could have talked Jason into it, I said, not for the first time that morning. But he's got his heart set on condos. Haley shook her head. Can you imagine? He was born and raised in Milton Falls. You'd think he'd have respect for quilts. Yeah, you'd think, I agreed. But I think he respects the almighty dollar even more. It really is a shame that... I stopped mid-sentence. An amazing idea had entered my brain with such force that I nearly fell over. Florence's house, I blurted out. We should use Florence's house. Florence's house? Haley gave me a quizzical look. Is Florence a friend of yours? Florence Grangerfield's house on Orange Street. According to Darla, it's still in the family, and there's some talk about getting it on the historic register. But why not make it a quilt museum instead? Haley smacked her forehead. Genius! Why didn't anyone think of this before? Where's Darla? Darla, where are you? Darla, as it so happened, was standing on the other side of the dining room. Right here, Haley. Everything okay? More than okay. It turns out that your friend Marnie here is a genius. When Darla heard my idea, she started laughing. Why didn't I think of that? Orange Street is still a residential neighborhood, someone pointed out. There might be restrictions, especially when it comes to street parking. There's a needlepoint shop on Orange Street, somebody else pointed out. We should go over there and get the lowdown. Haley looked at me. What do you say we go right this very minute? So off we went. Milton Falls Needlepoint is a tiny shop on the corner of Orange and Pleasant, which is just two blocks from the historic downtown area. There was a time when Sheila and I discussed getting into Needlepoint. This was about 20 years ago, when we were going through a serious DIY Christmas phase. We made our own wrapping paper using paper bags and rubber stamps, which was not well received by our respective families. We dried orange and lemon slices for wreaths and general decor, all eaten by family pets, knit Christmas stockings to replace the felt stockings we'd used forever. The knit stockings sagged, the children rebelled, and the felt stockings came back into circulation the following year. We even made Christmas sachets to tuck under pillows, spending tons of money on various oils, including lemon zest oil, almond fragrance oil, and oatmeal and raisin fragrance oil, plus cinnamon oil, of course. And in the end, the sachets mostly smelled like soap. But surely no one could object to needlepoint Christmas tree ornaments, we thought. And no one did, because we never made them. The fact is, if you're a quilter, there's not much room for anything else. A little sock knitting here and there, but that's about it, at least when it comes to the quilters I've known. I knew the owner of the needlepoint shop, Kim Wisnett, from back in the days when I went to church on a regular basis. COVID put an end to my church going, and somehow I never got back after things returned to normal, or at least what we call normal nowadays. I feel guilty about this, but I'm not going to think about it right now, given that COVID is surging again along with the flu. Kim reminds me a little of Marianne Knight from Guild in that she has a big personality, but unlike Marianne, Kim is a power for good. When she's not leading Milton Falls Needlepoint Brigade, she's busy serving on the food bank's board and running a program that helps families who are moving out of the homeless shelter into their own homes. I taught two of her kids, and they both came into my classroom equipped with their mother's cheerful can-do spirit. Marnie Fetzer, she called from behind the counter when Haley and I walked into the shop, which is on the first floor of a little bungalow and as cozy as can be. Why don't you age? I find that highly irritating. I knew better than to brush off one of Kim's compliments. She won't have it. Clean living and noxzema, I told her. I knew it, she said. I knew noxzema was behind it. All these years I've used ponds, and now I'm paying the price. Haley approached the counter, her hand stuck out. I'm Haley, and I love your shop. I can't believe I've never been here before. It's off the beaten track, but I like it that way, Kim said, taking Haley's hand and giving it a firm shake. Keeps out the riffraff and the rubberneckers. I don't need any thrill-seekers stopping in here willy-nilly. So, how can I help you ladies? We explained about the quilt museum and Florence's house. I'm not aware of any zoning restrictions that would stop you. Things are looser around here than in the burbs, Kim said after hearing us out. But parking could be a problem. As far as I can tell, no one around here gets their undies in a bundle about people parking on the street. But what happens if you guys want to hold a big event? Of course, St. Luke's is just around the corner, and they've got an enormous lot. Maybe you could talk with the vicar and make some sort of arrangements. Haley and I looked at each other and nodded. Scheduling an appointment with St. Luke's vicar would be the next item on our agenda. After we said our goodbyes, Haley and I walked down to Florence Grangerfield's house. Even in the middle of January, I could tell the garden would be beautiful in the spring. The house itself looked small on the outside, but Darla assured us earlier that it's actually quite large inside and has two big rooms downstairs that would serve nicely as galleries. As soon as I returned home, I immediately got on my laptop and started Googling everything I could think of related to Milton Falls quilt history. When I Googled Eula Baker, I learned that Maisie Baker McGrath was her niece. No, she is Eula Baker's niece because Maisie McGrath is still alive and living in Ashland, a mere 30 minutes away. Not only that, she has a website and an Instagram account. The woman is 98 years old and she's on Insta and still making beautiful quilts. I followed her on Instagram, of course. Maybe I'll message Maisie McGrath about the quilt museum. Maybe she'll come to the opening. Of course, she's 98, so we better get this museum open soon. January 19th. I can't believe it. Sheila and I actually had coffee this morning. Honestly, I needed it. Not only because I'm not getting as much one-on-one time with Sheila as I'd like, but also, how to explain this? I'm so excited about all the new things that are going on in my life right now, but I'm feeling a little uncentered, decentered. Time with Sheila always makes me feel rooted again. I'm like a Marnie whisperer, Sheila said when I told her this. I'm like your very own Cesar Millan. Oh, I love him, I said as I looked over the selection of pastries our server had just delivered to the table. 3 blueberry danishes, 1 cheese danish, 2 chocolate eclairs, and a bear claw. I used to watch the Dog Whisperer to get tips for dealing with Sam and Kate. He would have made a great babysitter, Sheila said as she lifted the bear claw from the plate. You want to split this? How about you take the bear claw and I'll take the cheese danish? Sheila nodded. Spoken like King Solomon himself. Although I still might only eat half of the bear claw. I'll give the other half to Emily when I go to the shop. She's opening up this morning. Emily is working out really well, isn't she? I said as I reached for the danish. I have to admit, I didn't have much faith that she would. Honestly, neither did I. Sheila split her bear claw in two and wrapped one half in a napkin. But I thought if I acted like I believed she'd do a great job, then maybe she would. And but for a bad day here and there, she has done a great job. Her voice trailed off. But? Sheila sighed. But she started to give me advice about my relationship with Tom, and she asks a lot of personal questions. It's like she thinks we're friends. On the one hand, I want to be friends with all of my daughters. I love that idea. On the other hand, I don't want to talk about anything too personal.
You mean? I didn't finish my question. I didn't have to.
That's exactly what I mean. Things I don't even discuss with you.
So why would you discuss them with Emily?
Exactly. But Emily's of a different generation. Her people tell all their deepest, darkest secrets to absolute strangers on social media. It's crazy.
Do you think they'll ever regret it?
Sheila reached into the basket for an eclair. Not as much as I'm going to regret this. And no, I don't think they will, because Emily and her cohort don't really understand privacy.
Their whole lives are online, including parts that they had no intention of making public. Their addresses, their voting records, if they've ever bothered voting, party photos from parties they might not remember going to. It's all there. I'd already said this 1,000 times to Sheila, but I went ahead and said it again. I am so glad we didn't have social media when we were growing up. I would have made a complete idiot of myself. Sheila nodded emphatically. Oh, me too. But that reminds me. Emily thinks Thimble Pleasure should have its own YouTube channel and that I should do how-to videos. She says it will have a huge impact on online sales. I don't know. I guess? I mean, the online business is okay, but it could be better. Right now, it's mostly from locals who know exactly what they want and are willing to pay $5 for shipping. What if you became the next Jenny Doan, I asked, and Thimble Pleasures becomes the next Missouri star? But Jenny Doan started out in theater, Sheila pointed out. She was made for the camera. But you're a great teacher. You'd be doing a public service by making how-to videos. I guess I could try it. Although I'm busy enough as it is. And now Tom wants to take me to Belize in February. She dropped her half-eaten eclair on her plate. How on earth am I going to be bathing suit ready by February? You're bathing suit ready now, I insisted. Or, to put it another way, you're never going to be happy with how you look in a bathing suit, so why worry about it? Finish that eclair. Live a little. Sheila gave her eclair a long look and then shook her head. This is all happening so fast, Marnie. I don't know what I want. Do you mean with Tom? She nodded. I leaned across the table and patted her hand. Oh, honey, you don't have to know, do you? You could just enjoy the ride. Maybe. There was a strange note in Sheila's voice. What aren't you telling me? I asked. This is more than just about a trip to Belize. It's just... Sheila took a deep breath. Last night at dinner, Tom brought up marriage.
He what?
Sheila waved her hand as though signaling me to turn down the volume.
Don't make a federal case out of it. It wasn't a proposal. It was more like, you know, like he was testing the waters. He made a joke like, if we ever get married, you're going to have to learn how to play golf. That sort of thing.
Do you think he means it? I asked. Sheila and I are both avid anti-golfers, mostly because when we were kids, the only thing on television Sunday afternoons was golf, and we still resent it. Sheila shuddered.
I hope not. He was just being silly. Still, it was the first time marriage has come up, and it's kind of freaking me out.
You guys have been dating a while now, I pointed out. It's not an unreasonable thing to bring up. If you do get married, I'm the matron of honor, right?
You were my maid of honor last time, Sheila said, reaching for her abandoned eclair. Look how well that worked out.
Second time's the charm, I said. But seriously, honey, you don't have to make any decisions about anything. If Tom brings up marriage in a more serious way, tell him you don't want to discuss it until you've been dating for a year.
That sounds like a good plan.
Sheila seemed more cheerful now.
I'll tell him I'm too busy becoming a YouTube star to consider marriage right now.
That's the ticket, I said. You can buy yourself some time and make Emily happy to boot. I bet she's always wanted a social media influencer for a mom. Sheila took a happy bite of her pastry.
I'm going to need new clothes.
Abby will hook you up. She's got a good eye.
Marn, we should get makeovers.
Sheila slapped the table for emphasis.
YouTube-ready makeovers.
And you know what else? I was starting to feel afraid. Very afraid. What?
You should go blonde.
Sheila nodded vigorously, as though the brilliance of this idea was undeniable.
Platinum blonde, a la Marilyn Monroe.
If it makes you happy, I said. But I was kidding. Of course I was kidding. She knows I was kidding, right?
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.